Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, May 25th, 2017. We'll start with a story titled District 118 Hears All Sides of Dress Code, written by Carol Rowan in Danville. The Danville District School 118 School Board Wednesday night heard from several Danville High School students and parents seeking more leniency in the district's uniform standard of dress and asking the board to focus on more pressing issues in the schools such as violence and bullying. The Ownership in Education Committee, which meets annually to review and propose changes to the district's OIE handbook for students and parents, has been meeting since January and made a report to the school board on the uniform standard of dress that has been in effect district-wide since 2014. We've had a dress code forever, and we will continue to have one, Board President Bill Dobble said, dashing any students' or parents' hopes of repealing the dress code. The dress code was last amended in 2015-16 school year when the school board agreed to permit students to wear any solid-colored shirt. Edison Elementary School Principal Mark Goodwin, who is the OIE committee chairman, reported that a stricter yet simplified dress code for grades 7 through 12 was being considered. That dress code would have all middle school and high school students, male and female, wearing a solid color polo style colored shirt, khaki pants, and a maroon or gray zip-up sweatshirt. He also listed the consequences for not following the dress code. First offense, verbal warning. Second offense, parent contact. Third offense, clothing contract signed by student and parent. And fourth offense, penalty for insubordination. DHS Assistant Principal Betsy Porter, who also is on the OIE committee, explained that if a student signs a clothing contract, he or she agrees to abide by the dress code. Breaking the contract could potentially lead to refocus or an in-school suspension, she said. Molly Smith, who will be starting her senior year at DHS, gave an impassioned speech and a two-page standard of dress proposal for the board to consider. The dress code is massively unpopular. It's time to listen to the students, she said, adding that the uniform clothes are uncomfortable and a distraction for the learning environment. Another DHS student, Isaac Voigt, said enforcement of the dress code isn't abhorrent at best. Sorry. Tony Rimofsky asked that the board use data instead of emotional appeal when making a decision on the dress code. He said the board should consider data such as changes in academic performance, number of disciplinary actions due to the dress code, and number of disciplinary actions not due to the dress code broken down by type during the three-year period since the dress code went into effect. DHS freshman Mackenzie Kaiser thoroughly researched the dress codes in educational settings and told the board she found uniforms cannot hide the differences between the haves and the have-nots. Wealthier families buy more uniforms per child, and the less wealthy have one uniform that is likely to be tattered, torn, and faded, she said. The perception we're giving students and parents by wearing uniforms is that we are a poor, violent school, in my opinion, she added. DHS parent Gretchen Yorty told the board, "You've spent a lot of time and energy on this that could have been spent on something else." The sentiment was echoed by North Ridge Middle School parent Katie Wilson. "We're missing the big picture. We're missing the violence and the bullying in the schools. We should be discussing other things all at these meetings," Wilson said. This is petty. Let's move on to the real issues." Dobbles told the crowd the school board will decide sometime in June whether any changes will be made to the dress code. "We will try to come up with a good recommendation and make that known in June so there will be plenty of time to get the appropriate clothing," he said. Okay, the next story is titled Coming Together, New Carnival Location for Spring Fest, written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. And there's a picture of The JCs are excited to have a brand new carnival company which changed names to work with for this year's Springfest. There will be more rides, foods, and games. The Danville JC Springfest will feature a new carnival and a new location this year. The 37th annual Springfest, which features a carnival, games, and food, and other vendors, will run from May 31st to June 1st at the Vermilion Regional Airport at 22633 North Bowman Avenue. The JCs had to really come together to bring Springfest back, said organizer Susan McKelly. She said they thought they had a location secured, but it fell through, and in less than 48 hours, they had the airport location secured. This actually was a collaboration of the community, she said. This was a community-wide effort. The City of Danville and community members worked with the Danville JCs to find a new location. This is one of our biggest locations, Ms. Selly said. She also adds, if the community doesn't support Springfest, this may be our last year. Last year's Springfest took a massive hit with the budget, she said. Last year's location was the old GM Foundry lot in Tilton. This is pretty much the only fundraiser we do anymore, she said. This pays the bills from Springfest and for other community events. The more people come out and spend money at the carnival, the more that comes back to the community, she said. The JCs also has sponsored a circus show annually in addition to sponsoring other events. The Danville JCs also has seen fewer members in its 75 years as a local organization. There are about 20 active members. The JCs, Junior Chamber of Commerce, is a nonprofit international group that offers leadership opportunities to people ages 18 to 40, giving them hands-on experience through serving the community. After age 40, the members are encouraged to stay on as mentors and may become senators after accumulating so many hours. Becoming a senator is a high achievement. For more information on becoming a JC's member, message the Springfest by the Danville JC's Facebook page. Hoopston also has a JC group. Miss Selly said they are excited to have a brand new carnival company, which changed names to work with for this year's Springfest. There will be more rides, foods, and games. The carnival opens at 5 p.m. on May 31st. We are going to follow curfew, Miss Selly said. The carnival will close at 9 p.m. May 31st and June 1st. The carnival will be open from 5 to 10 p.m. June 2nd, 3 to 10 p.m. June 3rd, and 2 to about 6 p.m. or later on June 4th. They still will offer bracelets to ride as much as you want for one price. Bracelets costs will range from $16 to $20 each day. Commercial news night is June 2nd. Food vendors will include Heavenly Snow Cones coming back. It was a big hit last year, Miss Sally said. There also will be a new barbecue vendor in addition to funnel cakes and other food vendors. The Saturday of Springfest, June 3rd, also will see various outside vendors starting at 3 p.m. They will offer direct sales and homemade items in addition to fitness and other displays. Direct sales will include Pink Zebra, Beauty and the Beats, Scentsy, Tupperware, Lip Scents, and more. The airport location has given the JCs a little more opportunity for more spacing between rides and games and to have a bigger midway than they've had in the past. We're looking forward to having great weather, Miss Selly said. She also adds they still are looking for volunteer groups to help with the parking. For more information, email danvillejcs@gmail.com. Pageant, the Danville JCs will serve as hosts for the Miss Springfest pageant on May 27th. The pageant takes place prior to the Danville JCs Springfest, and there's going to be another story on that in a minute here. And that story is titled Springfest Pageant to Crown 3 in Danville. And it says the Danville JCs will serve as hosts for the Miss Springfest pageant on May 27th. The pageant takes place prior to the Danville JC Springfest. 8 girls between the ages of 9 to 20 years old will compete in the pageant. Those who are selected will represent the Danville JCs during Springfest and other events. The JCs will crown a preteen, ages 9 to 12, a teen, ages 13 to 16, and a miss, ages 17 to 20. Anyone is invited to attend the pageant at 5 p.m. Saturday at the Danville Area Community College's Bremer Conference Center at 2000 East Main Street. Cost is $5 at the door. This is our smallest class ever of contestants. We're small but mighty, said organizer Susan Maselli. Also look on Facebook to find more information about the Miss Springfest pageant, Danville JC's Springfest, and the Danville JC's. Contestants are in the Miss division, Isabel Huffman, who's 19, of Bismarck, the daughter of J.D. and Penny Huffman, and Billy Joe Schenck, 17, of Danville, the daughter of William and Sherry Schenck. And in the teen division, we have Elia Wright, 13, of Danville, the daughter of Damien and Jennifer McGrone, Tierra Wash, 16, of Westville, the daughter of Patty Kaiser and Antoniz Kaiser, and Grady Wash, and Lorraine Weller, 15, of Westville, the daughter of Burl and Jackie Weller. And in the preteen division, we have Trinity Wheeler, who's 12, of Covington, the daughter of Randy and Lindsay Wheeler, Ariana Thompson, who's 10, of Muhammad, the daughter of Rachel Booth, and Cheyenne Tutwiller, who's 9, of Fithian, the daughter of Jacob and Tricia Tutwiller. Okay, we'll go ahead and run through the obituaries. Evelyn Yarosinski Hansen, a lifelong resident of Danville, passed away peacefully on May 12, 2017, at the age of 91. The family, it's down here at the bottom, sorry. The family is dedicating a mass for Evelyn on June 10th at 5 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church of Danville. All are welcome to attend in celebration of Evelyn's life. Holly Jean Ludwig passed away peacefully at home with his loving family on Friday, May 12th, 2017. A celebration of his life will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 27th at Carol Lear Funeral Home, 1910 East Tyler Street in Athens, Texas, 757-751. Randy Scott Schultz passed away peacefully this life at his home in Naples, Florida, on May 3, 2017. Memorial services will be at 3 p.m. on Thursday, May 25th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Miles Clark officiating. Memorial visitation 2 to 3 p.m. on Thursday at Robeson Chapel. Online condolences at www.robesonchapel.com. Bruce Edward Hunt, 61, of Danville, passed away Friday, May 19, 2017. Visitation will be at 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday, May 25th at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Services will follow at noon Thursday at Pape's, with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Burial will follow at Songer Cemetery. Jack Lane Dower, 64, of Danville, passed away at 6:03 a.m. at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana on May 20, 2017. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, May 25th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Rod Godley will officiate. Burial will be in Eugene Cemetery in Eugene, Indiana. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Jack's memory to his grandchildren in an account set up at Old National Bank in Danville. Floyd Eugene Boyer, 87, of rural Williamsport, died at 10:20 p.m. on Saturday, May 20th at Carmel Health and Living Center in Carmel, Indiana. Funeral services will be Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. EDT time at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, with Bruce Thornsbrew officiating. Burial will follow at Mount Hope Cemetery with military honors. Visitation is Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. EDT time at the funeral home. Condolences to shelbyfuneralhome.com. Okay, I'm probably going to butcher this name. It's Jack Miluski, it's C-H-M-E-I-L-E-W-S-K-I, 83, of Danville, passed away at 3:30 a.m. Saturday, May 21st, at North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Per his request, there will be no visitation. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, May 26th, at Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville, Illinois, with Father Timothy Sopp officiating. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested memorials to be given to Transitions Hospice, who took excellent care of Jack, and North Logan Healthcare Center. The family would also like to thank the staff at North Logan Healthcare Center. Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel of Westville assisted the family in the arrangements. Janice M. Hawkins, 70, of Westville, passed away at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, May 16th, at home. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 27th, at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville, with Drew Mentzer officiating. Visitation will be held from 12 to 2 on Saturday prior to her service at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in her name to the food pantry at the Westville First Church of Christ. William W. Lucas, 87, of Danville, passed away on May 22nd at his home in Danville, Illinois. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday, May 26th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Funeral services immediately following at 11 a.m. on Friday. Rita Hafner, 75, of Danville, passed away on Sunday, May 21st, at Presence Covenant Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, at 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 27th. Visitation will be held at the funeral home on Friday, May 26th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Per Rita's wishes, cremation rites will be accorded, will be recorded after the service on Saturday. Edwina Brown Dossie, 88, of Danville, passed away at 12:27 a.m. on Monday, May 22nd, 2017. A graveside service for Edwina will be held at Sunset Memorial Park at 3901 North Vermilion Street in Danville on Friday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Officiating will be Pastor James Blue. Memorial donations may be made to the American Cancer Society. Okay, Dorothy Kastner, 91, of Hoopston, died at 12:08 a.m. on Wednesday, May 24th, at Heritage Health Senior Living and Therapy in Hoopston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. And Donald Inman, Sr., 58, of Hoopston, died at 9:45 a.m. Tuesday, May 23rd, at home. Memorial services will be at 1 p.m. on Saturday at First Church of God, 1004 East Orange Street in Hoopston, with Sam Terrell officiating. Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston is in charge of the arrangements. And Myron L. Kumler passed away at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana after a lifelong battle with multiple melanoma blood cancer on Tuesday, May 23rd. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials can be made in Myron's name to Second Church of Christ. A celebration of Myron's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, May 27th at the Second Church of Christ, 3350 East Voorhees Street in Danville. A visitation will be held 2 hours prior, starting at 9 a.m. Interment will be held at a later date at Sunset Memorial Park. Dell Daniel will be officiating. And James Thompson passed peacefully away on May 12, 2017, after a lifelong battle with multiple illnesses. A celebration of Jim Wildman's life will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, June 10th, at the Pollywogs Association Clubhouse. Come and share some stories with us all. The family will hold private graveside services at a later date. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, donations can be made to the St. Jude's Hospital for the Children. Well, it's kind of a slow news day, so we'll go to a sports story. And it's titled Never Say Die, Vikings Rally in the 7th to Win Regional Opener. written by Chad Dare. And there is a picture of senior Caleb Cords celebrates with teammates Andy Button on the left, Caleb Griffin in the center, and Ernest Plummer on the right after delivering a game-winning two-out, two-run single to left in Wednesday's IHSA Class 4A Regional semifinal at Douglas Park in Rock Island. The Vikings rallied with four runs in the seventh to beat the United Township Panthers 4-3. And this is in Rock Island. The top-seeded Danville Vikings had the United Township Panthers right where they wanted them on Wednesday afternoon. After Danville entered the bottom of the seventh, trailing United Township 3-0, the Vikings needed a rally to keep their postseason hopes alive, and that's just what happened. Senior Caleb Cords delivered a two-out, two-run single to left, giving Danville a walk-off 4-3 victory over United Township in a regional semifinal game at Douglas Park in Rock Island. We've been great in the seventh inning all year, says Cords. In the seventh inning, we just seem to click together. A lot of teams get tired and they get down in the seventh, but we are always energized. Even facing a three-run deficit against United Township, right-handed Cole Walker, who had held Danville without a run in six straight games, I wasn't worried at all, said Danville senior Devontae Hicks, who had a two-run double in the inning and the right-hander retired all three batters he faced in the top of the seventh to earn the victory. We have always come through, and I knew we could come through again. Coach Jeff Desmond admitted he can't explain why the Vikings have been so successful in these situations. Danville, who's 21-10, has won five times in their final at-bats this season, and this was the third walk-off win for the Vikings this year. It's just a testament to our guys, Desmond said. I don't think they ever thought that we wouldn't come back and win this game. Because of our success earlier this year, they basically just think we are going to come up with another walk-off victory. That's a good thing. These guys just don't get rattled in late-game situations. Junior Andy Button got the four-run seventh inning started with a four-pitch walk. Caleb Griffin followed with a ground ball to UT third baseman Norman Trujillo, who threw wildly to second trying to get Button. Unlike the fifth inning, when Danville left the bases loaded, this time around Hicks delivered a two-run double, doubled down the right field line, scoring Button and Griffin and cutting the deficit to 3-2 for the Vikings. We had been hitting right at the defense, said Hicks, the leadoff batter for Danville. I knew it was time for us to get a couple of hits down against them. The bottom of our lineup did a good job of getting on base. I was just trying to get them over and get them in. The Vikings would load the bases again and one out on a Noah Nelson single as Panthers shortstop Grayson Durbin couldn't snare his line drive, and then Durbin was charged with an error on Ernest Plummer's grounder. Walker, who got out a similar situation in the fifth with a pair of strikeouts, got Jake Henson to pop out for the second out of the inning, setting up Cords to be the hero. I love being in that position, Cords said. I was just hoping to get the bat on the ball. He had been throwing a fast-pitch fastball all day. Once again, Walker went with a fast-pitch fastball, and Cords, who in his previous at-bat drilled a line drive into the Danville dugout on a first-pitch fastball, hit a soft liner to left. I thought he had a chance to catch it, or at least making a diving attempt, said Cords. And then I saw it was dropping in front of him, and I saw my team come running out of the dugout to me. Hicks scored the tying run, and pinch runner Quentin Smith Jr. scored from the second with the winning run. Desmond admitted that having Cords at the plate in that situation was good for the Vikings. Caleb has been really good all year for us, and his confidence is through the roof, Desmond said. When the year started, Caleb was one of those guys that a coach believes will need to step up for a team to be successful, and he does that for us. He's been a clutch hitter all year, and he has delivered once again. The Panthers, who were 8-20, built their 3-0 lead with a run-scoring single by Antonio Dominguez in the first, Francisco Lopez in the fourth, and a solo home run to left by Dominguez. With the victory, Daniel advances to Saturday's regional championship game against either the Moline Maroons or the Rock Island Rocks. Moline and Rock Island are scheduled to play at 4 p.m. today in the second regional semifinal. The championship game on Saturday is set for 1 p.m. start at the legendary and renovated Douglas Park in Rock Island, Illinois. Okay, the next story is titled, Just One Question. Throughout the school year, Danville School's K-8 students have been reading books, lots and lots of books, and testing their reading comprehensions through the Accelerated Reader Program. Now, at the end of the year, eight have made it into the AR 500-point club, with many earning well beyond the minimum points. That translates to anywhere from 80 to 135 books, and that's on top of their regular classroom reading assignments. I think this program really encourages students to read, and it helps build their reading comprehension, said Christy Wagle, the Northeast Elementary Magnet School's librarian. I really like to see what they're going to read next. Some will say, I've finished all the books in this series, give me another series to read. I give prizes as incentives, and the students like to see who can get the most, said Kyle Peterson, Southview Upper Elementary's librarian. The program challenges them to be better readers, and you can really see the growth from the beginning of the school year until now. Before the AR 500 Club members picked up their trophies at the Danville School Board on Wednesday, Noel McGee stopped by their school to ask them, what book would you recommend your peer group for this summer? Angel Patrick said, I really liked Everything, Everything by Nicola Yoon. It's a great book for girls my age and even some boys. It's about a girl who is allergic to everything. Instead of being scared about having the rare disease, she finds out more about it. And Zoe Wilson says, I recommended The Fill-In Boyfriend by Casey West. I read it in a day or two. It's about this girl whose boyfriend breaks up with her on the night of prom. She's been telling her friends about him for a while, and there's this one girl in the group who doesn't believe she has a boyfriend. I liked it because it's about the very average girl who tries to fit into her group. When she meets this boy, she finds herself. It's just a very relatable story. Alexander Lovelace says, Eragon by Christopher Poloni. Why would kids enjoy it? Dragons and magic, enough said. And Zion Flowers said, I'd recommend Old School from the Diary of Wimpy Kids series of Jeff Kinney, main character. Greg is funny. He gets into trouble and always thinking about ideas he can do. I really like reading stories about other people. You get to see if they have the same life as you or the same personality. And Tai Tina Chen said, I really like Into the Wild. It's the first book in the Warrior Cats series by Aaron Hunter. It's about a house cat turned wild cat, and there's always a prophecy. I like cats, so I think it's a good book. So anyway, that'll be it for today, Thursday, May 25th, 2017. I don't think that we will be reading on next Thursday, so if not, I guess I'll see you the next week, and I hope you all have a happy Memorial Day weekend, and enjoy, hopefully it'll be good weather and you can cook out and enjoy the family and stuff, and remember all those vets out there. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks. Bye.